Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Aging Faithfully, The Holy Invitation of Growing Older by Alice Freiling is a Christian living book about the spiritual meaning of later life. Written by a longtime spiritual director, it addresses readers who are entering, anticipating, or accompanying the senior years and want a faith-shaped interpretation of aging. Rather than treating aging mainly as a medical, financial, or lifestyle problem, Freiling presents it as a season in which losses can become invitations to deeper dependence on God. The book considers changes such as reduced stamina, retirement, diminished public usefulness, shifting relationships, and fear of death. But its purpose is not to deny grief, but to place grief within the Christian pattern of death and resurrection. Freiling combines personal reflection, theological insight, pastoral observation, chapter questions, and meditation prompts, making the book suitable for individual reading or small group discussion. Its central concern is faithful transformation when familiar identities begin to fall away. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, aging is framed as a spiritual invitation rather than a problem to solve. The central contribution of Aging Faithfully is its reframing of growing older. Freiling does not present aging as a project of self-improvement, nor is a decline to be resisted at all costs. Instead, she interprets later life as a holy invitation, a stage in which God may work through limits, losses, and changed capacities. This perspective matters because many cultural accounts of aging are organized around control. They focus on preserving youth, extending productivity, or minimizing dependency. Freiling's approach shifts the question from how to remain the same to how to receive God in a new season. The book acknowledges that aging brings real diminishment, including changes in energy, independence, role, and recognition. Yet it argues that these changes can uncover attachments that were previously hidden, such as dependence on achievement, status, usefulness, or self-sufficiency. The invitation is therefore not sentimental. It is a call to discern what must be released and what may be received. This makes the book distinctive within Christian aging literature because it avoids both denial and despair. Aging becomes a context for spiritual formation, where transformation is measured less by outward effectiveness and more by receptivity, humility, and deepened communion with God. Secondly, losses in later life are interpreted through the pattern of death and resurrection. Freiling gives sustained attention to loss, but she treats it in a specifically Christian theological frame. Physical decline, retirement, reduced independence, and the fading of familiar roles are not minimized. They are described as experiences that can feel like small deaths because they involve the surrender of former ways of living and understanding oneself. The book encourages readers to grieve these losses consciously rather than cover them with religious optimism. This is an important pastoral move because unacknowledged grief can harden into resentment, fear, or withdrawal. At the same time, Freiling does not leave the reader in grief alone. She connects the experience of losing to the Christian hope of resurrection, suggesting that God may bring new life after forms of death that aging imposes or reveals. The reasoning is not that every loss has an obvious benefit, but that the Christian life is shaped by a pattern in which surrender can open space for grace. This theme gives the book emotional balance. It permits lament without making lament final. Readers are invited to notice where an old identity has ended, where God may be present in the ending, and where a different kind of fruitfulness may emerge. Thirdly, the book distinguishes productivity from fruitfulness in the senior years. One of the book's most practical distinctions is between productivity and fruitfulness. Productivity is often tied to visible accomplishment, measurable output, professional contribution, church service, or family responsibility. These are not dismissed as unimportant, but Freiling recognizes that many older adults eventually cannot sustain the pace or forms of service that once gave them purpose. This creates a spiritual and emotional crisis, especially for people who have understood faithfulness through doing. Aging Faithfully asks, what happens when gifts can no longer be exercised in familiar public settings, or when the roles that once affirmed identity become unavailable? The alternative offered is fruitfulness, a more receptive and less performance-driven form of spiritual maturity. Fruitfulness may appear through wisdom, prayer, listening, gratitude, gentleness, patience, and a settled presence with others. The distinction is concrete because it helps readers evaluate whether their worth has been over-identified with usefulness. It also challenges churches and families to value older adults beyond task completion. In this sense, the book is not merely about private spirituality. It raises a communal question about how Christian communities define contribution when efficiency and activity are no longer the main measures of a person's life. Fourthly, letting go becomes a discipline that reshapes identity and responsibility. Aging Faithfully repeatedly returns to the spiritual practice of letting go. Freiling describes later life as a time when former patterns of control, responsibility, and self-definition may need to be surrendered. This includes the loss of professional identity, reduced authority in family or church life, and the realization that some responsibilities now belong to others. The book's discussion of the discipline of irresponsibility is especially notable because it names a tension many conscientious older Christians face. People who have spent decades caring, leading, organizing, and serving may feel guilty when they can no longer do as much, or when they are no longer the central decision-makers. Freiling does not advocate indifference. Rather, she points toward a faithful relinquishment of roles that are no longer appropriate or possible. This discipline requires discernment because it can be difficult to distinguish love from control, service from overfunctioning, and faithfulness from fear of being unnecessary. By treating letting go as a spiritual practice, the book gives readers a way to understand changing responsibilities without shame. Identity is gradually relocated from capacity and role to belonging in God. The result is a less anxious posture toward limitation and a more honest acceptance of dependence. Lastly, reflection questions and meditations make the book useful for personal and group discernment. The structure of Aging Faithfully supports its pastoral purpose. Each chapter includes questions for reflection and discussion, along with suggestions for personal meditation. This design matters because the book is not primarily a set of abstract arguments about aging. It is intended to help readers examine their own experiences, fears, attachments, and hopes in the presence of God. The questions create space for practical discernment. A reader can consider which losses are most difficult to name, which former identities are still being defended, where fear of death or dependency is active, and how God might be inviting a different response. For small groups, the format encourages conversation about topics that are often avoided in church settings, including physical decline, mortality, usefulness, retirement, grief, and peace. The reflective approach also suits caregivers, adult children, pastors, and spiritual companions who want to listen more carefully to older adults rather than offering quick reassurances. Freiling's background in spiritual direction is evident in this emphasis on attentiveness. The book does not rush readers toward answers. It invites them to notice what is happening interiorly, to bring that awareness into prayer, and to interpret aging as part of a continuing relationship with God. In conclusion, Aging Faithfully is best suited for older adults, people approaching retirement, caregivers, pastors, spiritual directors, and small groups that want to think about aging through Christian faith rather than through cultural anxiety alone. Readers looking for medical guidance, financial planning, or general wellness advice will need other resources because Freiling's focus is spiritual formation. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers name grief without being defined by it, release outdated identities, reconsider usefulness, and face mortality with a more grounded trust in God. Its intellectual benefit is the theological pattern it brings to ordinary aging experiences. Loss is not treated as meaningless decline, and aging is not reduced to successful adaptation. Instead, the book places later life within the Christian movement from surrender toward renewed life. Compared with many books on aging, it stands out for its combination of candor, gentleness, and structured reflection. It is more pastoral than technical, more contemplative than programmatic, and more honest than books that speak of later life only as freedom or opportunity. Freiling's distinctive contribution is to show how diminished capacity can still be spiritually fruitful. The book gives language to older Christians who sense that God is still forming them, even when the outward markers of achievement have changed. If you would like to support Alice Freiling, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.